Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey there, it is Lissa's Local Live Music Podcast. I am Lissa. Every week I bring you a musician or artist here in Northeast PA that I love. We learn about them. We find out where they're playing on the weekend. This week, I can already tell it's going to be my favorite, my best buddy, Jackson B.
What's up?
From Scranton. I'm so glad you could come.
Hey, you pronounce the T. It's Scranton.
Scranton. You got to grunt.
Yeah.
Now, brace yourself, because I want to find out things in this interview that I don't already know about you. And I know a hell of a lot about you.
Yeah, there might not be a lot that you don't know.
Well, but there's a lot of your life that I missed. I didn't come in until... I was trying to think of how long we've been playing gigs together.
2010, I think, right?
See, I think it was 2012, because I moved here in 2010. And I know I psycho-stalked you for a little while, because every benefit that I hosted, you were playing at it. And I remember thinking, this guy plays every benefit. He's the nicest guy. I wish I could play with him. So for a little while, I was kind of like keeping track of your gigs. And then finally, I popped up and I was like, if you ever want a piano player...
Maybe it was 2012. That's right.
I think so. Now, the first thing I need to get out of the way, just because it might not be fun for you to talk about, but I feel we need to address it. Is there a way we can put out a PSA that you are feeling great and doing great so that everyone at all of our gigs doesn't come up to you and go, hey, buddy, how you doing? Hey, buddy, how you feeling?
I feel good. I feel good.
That's it. You had a health scare.
Oh, yeah.
Life-changing
health scare.
Very real.
Absolutely.
But it's every show.
Tell it's almost a game we play now. Like, how many people are going to come up to me and ask me, how am I feeling?
Do you ever want to mess with them and be like dying?
Oh, I have now. I have already. I feel like crap.
And I'm so glad you're doing great. But I can tell you are a much different person. Well, you're the same person, but your outlook on a lot of things has changed since that. How so with music?
Well, I don't take it for granted anymore.
Good point.
And not that I ever did, but every note that I play is just a blessing. I don't go out and play for, like, when I was doing it 7 days a week, 6 days a week sometimes, and it was more of a job. I still had fun doing it, but I did it. A lot of it was because it was my living and my steady income. A lot of it was just for money. Like, I would turn down one gig for another gig because maybe it paid more. Now it's just, I just love to do it. So if I can go out and play a gig, and if my body allows me to,
that's the other thing too.
You know, I love to play, just to play.
Amen. Would you say that's the big lesson that you would tell other musicians? Just don't take for granted the ability to even be able to do it.
Oh yeah. Don't ever take that for granted, because, you know, I always thought, hey, you know, I could play guitar and piano. So if I ever lose my hands, I can just fall back on my singing.
Right.
Now it's... we're to the point where I can't sing right now, so I fall back
sometimes.
And say,
it's not your same old singing, but you do sometimes.
It hurts, but
right.
I try and get through it. I try and do it.
You went to school to be a music teacher.
Yeah.
And did you really think that you were going to be one? Did you want to be, or were you just going to school to get that skill set?
I actually was going to be a teacher until I was actually in the setting of being a teacher, doing my student teaching, and I was more of a babysitter than a student teacher.
Yes.
And that's when I knew it just wasn't for me.
Isn't that crazy? Until you were in that setting, would you ever even try it again?
Not teaching. No.
No,
definitely, especially in today's world.
That's true.
I have a different mindset than what other teachers might.
Especially in the creative realm. Everybody thinks their kid is gifted. Have you noticed this trend? Everyone's child is gifted.
I feel like a lot of parents today, they try and put their kids in different curricular activities. Not because of what the kid wants, it's because of what the parents want.
Yes.
And some of them use that as a babysitter.
Sure.
Some of them use it as vicariously living through their kid.
Big time.
And sometimes maybe the kid doesn't want. Listen to your kid.
Listen
if the kid says, hey, I don't want to be in ballet,
right.
Don't put your little girl or guy,
seems
whatever.
Like a no-brainer.
Through ballet.
But when you were a little kid, who first noticed that you were good at music?
Well, Santa Claus.
Nice. Yeah. He sees you when you're sleeping.
I'm air quoting. You can't see me, but I'm air quoting Santa Claus.
But you got an instrument for Christmas.
Yes, it was a little piano. A little piano for Christmas. A little keyboard. I still have it.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah. I think I was probably 3 or 4 when I got it. You know, my dad started You know, he plays around some stuff too. You know,
he does.
He knows some music. He fools around with it. Ask him to play the accordion for you one of these times.
Shut up.
Yeah.
We should do a Weird Al set and bring him out.
Little secret that I know.
Come on, Jack. But, don't hold back.
So he helped me out. He was showing me some things on this little keyboard that I got. So funny story was, I took this little keyboard to preschool with me for show and tell, and I actually learned Happy Birthday because I liked this one girl. I was starting young. I liked this girl in preschool. So
baby.
I actually learned Happy Birthday, and I got up for show and tell, and I sang Happy Birthday to her.
Oh, that's such a pimp move.
Yeah, and then she moved away like a year or two later, and I never heard from her again.
She didn't say it was because of the song directly, but probably the reason she moved. That's just so cool, though. What little kid can do that? That's a neat moment.
You know, my parents really, really got me started in music. And then my teachers at Neil Armstrong School, they're like, well, hey, maybe this kid is the real deal here. So,
that's good.
And they pushed me along. So it all started there.
That's amazing, though, how it just takes one or two key people to notice that you might have a special gift or an aptitude for that. Now, who was your idol that you wanted to be like? The guy on the radio, the band on the radio, on MTV. Who was the person? Did you have one?
Don't tell my friends, but it was Bon Jovi.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, John Bon Jovi, man. Just because, like, he just seemed the most real.
I can see that.
He wrote really good songs.
He did.
And
Amazing hair.
He wasn't into the drug part, and he was more business driven than a lot of the other 80s bands that were out there.
Even now, he's got good business sense.
Oh, yeah.
And back in that day, he and Richie and their whole band of thieves, that was a tight band. I like to think I'm your Richie. Can I be your Richie?
Sure.
I don't play guitar, but
absolutely.
It's like a similar, like if you're Batman, I'm totally your Robin. Let's be real.
I don't look good in tights.
You're not true. Tell me this. When did your music path converge with your path with your fiance, Morgan? Because is it true that her dad was one of the first people as a bar owner to give you a chance to play?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was playing with the band. Some of them might remember Simon Says. It got a little hairy at the end there. So I wanted to move on and do different things, you know?
Yeah.
So I went and I tried out a solo career. Waldo, Joe Waldo, was the first guy who, and at the first bar, Waldo's bar was the first place that gave me the opportunity to do a solo gig. And that's where all the whole solo thing began, was Waldo's bar. So
that's so amazing how it's come full circle.
Yeah.
And now Morgan
and
has
then
a
I
bar.
Fell in love with his daughter.
And then you fell in love with his daughter. Do you remember first meeting her? Was it at Waldo's?
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah,
so
she was with her ex.
Oh.
And I was like, I was still like Wayne. I was like, oh, yes,
she will be mine.
Oh, yes.
But you have always been that way. You're so in love with her. And your whole love story is circled around that place. And the fact that it ties in with your music just couldn't be more perfect.
Oh, pretty much every song was about her.
Oh,
I told her that. You know?
I know. What was the first song you wrote about her? And did she know at the time that it was about her?
My first solo album, God, it was an EP, actually. It was just four songs. I think one of them was for her. They were all pretty much about her anyways.
Right.
It was all just different situations and everything. But that was going back like a long time ago, before she even really knew anything.
Interesting.
And so then my full album, it was just pretty much every song was just revolved around different situations that we were in.
But sometimes when you're inspired to write, it's because things aren't going so great.
Right.
So,
well, sometimes the crappy situations bring out the best.
Yes. Hence the you and Morgan getting back together after you got sick. I mean, it shows you who's really important to you.
Yeah.
Now, what's your favorite compliment to hear about your originals?
Well, you know, some people come up and say, hey, you sound like this guy, or hey, you sound like this guy. But the best compliments that I get are just that they enjoy it. And they can relate to my music.
Yes.
They can relate to it. Because when I write, I try to write vague enough where it's, I'm a lyrics guy. I really am. I'm all about the lyrics. Well, music too. I mean, it has to sound good.
Right. But the lyrics can't be so specific.
Right.
That it's only about you. I get what you're saying.
The lyrics are more important to me than anything.
That's what connects with people the most.
That's what, and when they say that really hit me because I was in that situation too. And I'm like, well, your situation was probably totally different than what I was thinking, but hey, if the song relates to you in a way, sure. That's awesome. And another great compliment that I've got is a lot of my songs, they say, are timeless, which is
the ultimate
compliment.
Right.
Because it's, to me, that's like, maybe it's not so cookie cutterish.
Oh, for sure. They're signature, but they definitely stand up no matter when or how you listen to them. I could see definitely why someone would say that.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to musicians, young kids, and bands who are just starting out, just starting to write, and even starting to approach bar owners about getting gigs?
Well, I would give them advice. If they're getting into music, I would say make sure you really, really love it. Don't do it if you don't love it.
Yes.
Because if it's not fun, then you shouldn't do it.
And if it stops being fun, stop doing it.
Yeah, if it stops being fun, yeah.
We've all seen those people. They seem to be angry at their own gigs, and you're like, why?
I know.
We're just unenthused.
Yeah, it's a different world out there now because a lot of people don't go out and see the bands and live musicians as much.
True.
So it's really, really tough for the musician to get out there and play. But what I would say is, as a musician, if you're out there in the local bars and the clubs, if there's 5 people there or if there's 100 people there, don't change because there's 5 people there.
Yes.
Play the same show you would play if there was 1,000 people there, because those 5 people are going to go tell 5 more people. Those 10 people are going to go tell another 10 people. And then by the time you know it, you have a following.
Absolutely. I could not agree with that.
And then when the bar owner says, what kind of following do you have?
Check out my 30 people here. It's so true, though. I've seen bands refuse to go on for fewer than 20 people, and I just want to choke them. And I'm like, I don't know who you think you are.
I mean,
I've
done that. I haven't refused. I've never refused to play. I've always given the venue an option.
Yeah.
Do you want me to pack it up early?
Sure. That's different. That's different. You're not Mariah carrying it and being like, I refuse.
Right.
That's actually polite, what you're talking about.
Right.
Going forward, how does your songwriting, how is it affected by where you are in your life, the type of gigs you're playing, what you want to do with your future? Are you still writing songs, and what's inspiring you now?
Well, actually, I'm never going to stop writing, because there's always going to be situations, as long as I'm alive, there's always going to be situations that I'm in.
But I saw a photo of you that you posted from the studio with Wiggy just about a month ago, and you looked the happiest I've seen you in a long time.
Oh, I felt...
I know you love the studio.
I felt at home in the studio. I could live there. I really could.
Especially with him. He's so easy to share ideas with.
Oh, God, the whole band.
So creative. Yeah.
Wiggy, Lenny, Gary, all them guys from Jigsaw Johnny. Or Big King Moose.
They're amazing.
Or Dallas Carter, their country alter ego with Lindsay.
Also incredible.
Yeah, go out and check them out. Cheap plug.
Yes, you should. 100%. But I do hope that you'll keep hitting the studio too, because I think when you produce something, you can tell your heart is in it so much. And I just love, because you're into the production too. You're into every aspect of your song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing about music too, is it really gives you a sense of working well with others.
Yes.
It really teaches. That's when I hear these schools want to take music out of school. It's not just music. You're not just going in there and clanging a couple drums together or just banging on a piano.
Right.
It teaches you a lot of life lessons. And
absolutely,
one of them is to work well with each other.
Yes. And to not be a pouty baby when you exchange ideas, and maybe yours isn't the best one, or you have a criticism that you need to take and mold into an idea. It's so many skills.
Right.
So intro this song that you brought me, because I love it and you know that I love it. And you did this in the studio with Wiggy, correct?
I did. I did. Wiggy, Lenny, and Gary, the guys from the band, they all play on it. Actually, this was written, and I did sing on it before my little hospital soiree.
Right. For your extended stay.
My extended stay at the regional hospital, which, by the way, thanks for saving my life.
Yeah, they're amazing also.
This was written about guess who?
Let me see. Is it multiple choice? Oh, I just need the one choice. And Morgan knows it's about her.
Yeah, she knows. So I wrote this about her. It's a little bit different than what I usually write. You'll notice my voice is a little different in this than it is now. So,
but what a blessing that you did get to do that vocal. I kind of consider that a gift from God, that you got to squeak that out before the extended stay at the Casa de Regional.
Yeah, actually, the vocal track that I did on this was actually my scratch track. And usually when I do a scratch track, I mess around and screw around and change up words or something, just to have it just as a marker where I'm at. This one I actually did for real.
The one time you took it seriously?
The one time I took it seriously,
damn.
And thank God I did, because you'd be singing it. Which we're still going to do one of these days.
I would love
we're
to, still anytime.
Do it into a duet. But
I'm down for studio time with you anytime. You know, any collaboration, you and I, we always have
definitely.
So much fun.
Hey,
so,
should we tell them about our gig that's coming up?
I was just going to say, first you need to plug all your social media because I feel like people need to download you and find you on Spotify and all the places. And then, yes, pimp our gig.
If you find me on Facebook, well, you find everybody on Facebook these days. Instagram. A lot of my original stuff's on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, and all that good stuff like that.
And I heard you're playing with your friend Lissa in Scranton this week.
I am.
Yay!
I am this week at the V-Spot. That's this Thursday, the 7th.
8 to midnight.
8 to midnight. And then the 23rd, February 23rd, we're at Waldo's.
That's right.
Yeah.
10 to 1.
Yeah. Get your butts out there and come see us.
That's right. I'm so glad
Please.
You could do this. We're going to end with your track, so do your best radio DJ intro voice, and I'll let you end it.
All right, here we go.
We even shifted poses. This is fancy.
I know, How about it? Hi, this is Jackson V. For your easy listening pleasure, this is a new hit called Found You Again.
Crash all around. Don't know how I should feel when I'm around you. I finally found you again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.